practice to actually go through whatever it is that we think that we need to go through in order to remember the truth of what we are. And that's going to be in today's reading. Knowing thyself is really the goal of the curriculum. Knowing thyself is the goal of this curriculum. And I know some people might say, well, the goal of the curriculum is also peace. And I guess you're peaceful when you know the truth. And when you know the truth, you are peaceful. No one can take that peace from you. That is called the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. But not right here, right now. That's for sure. Maybe in the past, but not right here, right now. A few announcements. I do want to announce the opportunity to become an admin in this room, and we do have still a number of admin openings. And for those people who are already admins, they actually know the value of it. And I can tell you, as someone who's been an admin for a long time, it is extremely valuable because you actually put yourself in a place of being open and aware of all that's happening, not just focusing on one little thing, but the totality of it. And yes, you are asked to discern, and training in discernment is important. And you'll be under the tutelage of Lynn Johnson, Sweet Dreams, right here. Her training, and she doesn't do this that often, so this is the opportunity, starts Thursday, June 5th, which I guess is about 2 weeks, almost, less than 2 weeks. So if you would like to be an admin, please get in touch with Lynn Johnson for that. It would be a training, first of all, to serve others, and if you're in the embrace of the spiritual movement, you know that by serving others, you actually grow yourself. There's no way that you will not enhance your own growth by serving. And if you are coming here to this room, there's probably something you might want to give back. It's you have received a lot. This is a wonderful way of giving back. I guess the other thing I want to mention is the Santa Barbara weekend, which is coming up. And thank you, Bob, for putting up the How Do I Become a Room Admin? And thanks, that is Lynn's email. And yes, Bob DeWater just put up Santa Barbara Satsang. It's December 12th through the 14th. You already met, if you were here on Sundays, we had a satsang with Magdi MB and with Timothy Conway. Maybe you know the music of I forgot her name, Kirtana. So if you know the music of Kirtana, you'll want to be there. But it's just going to be a fun weekend for those people who are at the Santa Barbara mission. The last time the Regina held one there, it's really a real fun experience in Santa Barbara. Those people who attended the last couple of retreats that Awakening Together had know how amazing the power of both that Diederik Walczak retreat was in Cannon City, and also the one that was held with Regina in Costa Rica. So please take a look at it. You may just want to be there and join with all your brothers and sisters, the members of the Awakening Together assembly. Okay. Yeah, I did say September. Well, yes, it is September 12th to the 14th. Okay. Without any further ado, I'm going to turn this mic over to my wife, Suzanne, and the only one here who knows that I was ambivalent about what the reading was going to be, because at first I sent Regina the reading was going to come from section one of the teacher's manual, Who Are God's Teachers, which came out of the original idea for this week, which is we all share the same interests, the same goal, the same purpose, and that for sure is true. and we're going to do the reading from there. And then at the last minute, I changed it over to the Holy Encounter, which most of you know has been up in this banner for some time, and we'll post it up here again on the board for everyone to see. And that's whenever you meet anyone, remember it's a Holy Encounter. Right. But that particular section, which is text chapter 8, section 3, has a lot more in it than just those beautiful words about a holy encounter. So without further ado, turning this mic over to Suzanne, who is going to read paragraphs 4, 5, and 6 from text chapter 8, section 3.
Good morning, everyone. As you know, I have been a student of the course for over 30 years, although not with the intensity of David, or Dove, as you know him. But I really feel honored to read this section, because to me, this is the whole course in a nutshell. Without further ado, as David says, let me just continue reading. When you meet anyone, remember it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. As you treat him, you will treat yourself. As you think of him, you will think of yourself. Never forget this, for to him you will find yourself or lose yourself. Whenever two sons of God meet, they are given another chance at salvation. Do not leave anyone without giving salvation to him and receiving it yourself. For I am always there with you in remembrance of you. The goal of the curriculum, regardless of the teacher you choose, is know thyself. Well, I'm going to repeat that because that is the whole course. That's the only reason to do it. The goal of the curriculum, regardless of the teacher you choose, is know thyself. There is nothing else to seek. Everyone is looking for himself and for the power and glory he thinks he has lost. Whenever you are with anyone, you have another opportunity to find them. Your power and glory are in him because they are yours. The ego tries to find them in yourself alone because it does not know where to look. The Holy Spirit teaches you that if you look only at yourself, you cannot find yourself, because that is not what you are. Whenever you are with a brother, you are learning what you are because you are teaching what you are. He will respond either with pain or with joy, depending on which teacher you are following. He will be imprisoned or released according to your decision, and so will you. Never forget your responsibility to him, because it is your responsibility to yourself. Give him his place in the kingdom, and you will have yours. I just want to interject here that I learn this every day, even with my husband David. I am always learning, and I bless him because of that. All week I learn, no matter what I am doing. I will continue now. The kingdom cannot be found alone, and you who are the kingdom cannot find yourself alone. To achieve the goal of the curriculum, then, you cannot listen to the ego, whose purpose is to defeat its own goal. The ego does not know this because it does not know anything. But you can know it, and you will know it if you are willing to look at what ego would make of you. This is your responsibility, because once you have really looked at it, you will accept the atonement for yourself. What other choice could you make? Having made this choice, you will understand why you once believed that. When you met someone else, you thought he was someone else. And every holy encounter in which you enter fully will teach you this is not so. Thank you so much for giving me this chance to read that. And remember, I'll read one more. The goal of the curriculum, regardless of the teacher you choose, is know thyself. Thank you. And have a lovely day, everyone.
All right. Thank you so much, Suzanne, for that. Thank you, as Lynn just said. Thank you, Suzanne. Most of us know that first paragraph, paragraph four, when you meet anyone, remember it's a holy encounter. As you see him, you see yourself. And, you know, at one point you might say, well, I can do that intellectually, you know, remembering what this says, I'm going to remember the truth about myself, which is to see my brother as spirit, not as a body or a personality, because I'm not a body, I'm free, and my brother is also spirit. So that's what I want to do, is I want to see him as he truly is. And yes, you can do that, but yet you must first transform your mind to see as spirit sees, to see as spirit sees. And, you know, sometimes the mind plays all kinds of tricks on us. I started this week looking for what the universe would have me share here, and the beginning of the week started off with lessons 139 and 140, which most of you know are the two last lessons in that very strong series of 20 lessons that start with forgiveness offers me all that I want, forgiveness is the key to happiness, and ends up with, goes through my birthday lessons. I loose the world from all that I thought it was, and I will not value the valueless. And Monday, Tuesday was the end of that series of 20 lessons. I will accept atonement for myself, lesson 139. I will accept atonement for myself. Now, we've been going through the lessons for many years. Most of you have done it at least once or twice or three or four times, and we come to that particular lesson, I will accept atonement for myself. And looking at that particular lesson in paragraph three, this is what it says. Uncertainty about what you must be is self-deception on a scale so vast, its magnitude can hardly be conceived. To be alive and not to know yourself is to believe that you are really dead. For what is life except to be yourself, and what but you can be alive instead? Who is the doubter? What is it that he doubts? Whom does he question? Who can answer him? Who can answer him? So Jesus puts all those questions to us, and sometimes, you know, we just read these as, you know, words in a book, and then we keep going on to the next paragraph, and he's telling us, you know, in this world, we have made a world where self-deception, which is the illusion, we use the word illusion a lot, and what is illusion except something that we have made up as a substitute for the truth, and yet we look out there, and we talk about it, and we do all kinds of things that basically keeps us kind of stuck in that same self-deception or illusion. Notice the next lesson, 140, is the only lesson in the book that actually uses the word cure. And it says, only salvation can be said to cure. Only salvation can be said to cure. So when it says, leave no brother without giving him salvation, whenever you meet anyone, remember, it's a holy encounter. Do not leave anyone without giving salvation to him. So, only salvation can be said to cure. Now, we've been going through that lesson for many, many times. And, you know, what do you mean by salvation and what do you mean by cure? Today's topic, I am both in this world and not of it. Or you can say, we are both in this world and not of it. Looks to take a look at what I came up with this week, or you might say what was given to me this week. And as you know, Dove always kind of asked Spirit, well, what am I going to share with my brothers and sisters this Sunday morning? And when you ask, it's actually given to you. And you never know where it's going to come from. It definitely does come. Even at the last moment, it comes. all kinds of wonderful things happened this particular week. Let me start off with something that some of you who know the teachings of Benny Silverman, who actually is here, he comes here on Fridays at 5 o'clock, and he also comes here on Sundays at 5 o'clock. And this is what Benny Silverman posted this week. Perfect week for me to read it. And this is what he says. It's very short and sweet. You cannot make it real and then heal it, or forgive it, or atone for it. The solution is to see that it never happened or could never be. That's very short and sweet, but it actually does actually speak to us about what this course is really saying when you go many levels down deep. And the same day that Benny Silverman posted that on Facebook, Nuke Sanchez, who we all know, basically wrote the following. I'm going to try and put it up here and for all to see, because it's probably where it can be most helpful to us. And she headed up this, she headed it up by saying, my reluctance to see Jesus's deeper teachings. So, yeah, we all go through the course, and we know there's more there. It just keeps on unfolding and unfolding. There's always more. As we ourselves become more aware that this is not true, we actually see things that point things out to us. And she says, I believe that the ego dream, the body, and the laws of nature were inevitable, fixed, and yet also inconsequential, since none of them were real and truth. Yet I just needed to forgive them all without examining any of them to see what they were actually made of. This is a subtly clear ego trap that ensnares many students of A Course in Miracles. I didn't realize that while I kept defending my body from illness, overweight, scarcity, and loss. I was at the same time investing in the bodies or the world's reality. I obviously believed that all these things were real. How in the world could I forgive them? The truth is, we can't forgive the body or the world while we still want to use them independently for the ego's purposes. Taking a look at that particular paragraph and what she's really saying is, you really can't forgive anyone. You know, the word forgiveness, people always say, well, how can I forgive this and how can I forgive that? The only one you can ever forgive is yourself. In this movie, in this screen that we're watching, now all these things are actually there in a way to keep us thinking that there's something going on here. And as long as I think there's something going on here, I'm not both in this world and not of it. I'm in this world. And you can't really forgive from being in this world. You cannot forgive from being. All you can do is forgive for thinking that you are in this world, which is the original idea of I am really not in this world. I am dreaming while I'm at home. I am at home dreaming that I am in exile. Going back to a line that most people who do the course remember, but this is an opportunity to actually put it into effect. A dream is a dream. So you can't forgive the figures in the dream. There's always more figures to forgive. There's always going to be more figures to forgive. You can only forgive yourself for actually using the dream as a substitute for reality. This is the second paragraph, and it did take, and this is what she says. She says, I didn't realize that true forgiveness undoes the cause of the ego dream, and therefore it undoes its effects as well. When I sincerely forgave something, I believe the cause was fully healed in my mind, and I felt that was enough. The effects or symptoms in the body or life didn't matter. I realized only much later that I hadn't really forgiven half the people and things I thought I had, and I certainly hadn't truly forgiven the body, because I still believed these things were real. I was still valiantly protecting and defending them independently from spirit. So the cause was not thoroughly forgiven because it had not yet been fully recognized, looked upon. And then she goes on, of course, you can go to any of her books. The last one is The End of Dying, but you go to Undoing the Ego, and I could put up that particular website if you want to go further than the excerpt, which is really what she mentioned. I'll put up the excerpt if you want to go further and take a look at it. Whoops, it doesn't really go for some reason, but anyway, I'll try one more time. If you want to look further into it, there it is. Okay, so what is it that Nuke is pointing out? The funniest thing is Nuke is saying the exact same thing in two full paragraphs as Benny Silverman said in about two lines. But let's go back to Benny Silverman's, because it's put down so simply you can't miss it unless you want to miss it. And this is what Benny says again, just to point it out. You cannot make it real and then heal it. You can't make it real and forgive it. You can't make it real and atone for it. The solution is to see that it never happened. Could never be. It never be. That's what the accepting the atonement is. That's what accepting the atonement is. Going back to to how this week began, Monday and Tuesday's lessons, I will accept atonement for myself. Now, you either are accepting the atonement, as the Course points out, is to recognize that whatever you think happened never happened. At that level, you can only forgive yourself for the belief that, oh yes, this has happened, and as it says in the Song of Prayer, forgiveness to destroyer says, well, yes, I can forgive this, because, you know, whether you want to use forgiveness to destroy, or even the spiritual ego's way of saying, well, I could just let it go. I can just let it go. I just don't have to look at it anymore. You know, just the past is not there. It can hurt me not. But there's always more to go. I actually had an experience this morning coming into today's talk on both In This World and Not of It. And I hit the wrong button on the computer, and I actually blocked somebody who was completely innocent and blocked them from being on Open Minds for ACIM and NTI, the group that we have on Facebook. And there's no way I can even find. I spent a half hour looking and looking and looking at how I can undo this error. And the only way I can undo it is to find the person's name, so I can contact them and say, you know, a mistake happened, and I apologize, but if you apply again, this time you'll definitely be admitted and embraced as a new member. I apologize, but I could never find that person's name. Somehow Facebook doesn't give you the ability. It just shows who has been blocked, but I didn't see the person's name, so I couldn't even contact them. I actually felt pretty unhappy about the event. And I said, well, why is this happening? And up came, that's the perfect demonstration of how in this world you'll always have more things happening. To accept the atonement, which is to accept that I am cause for the entire movie I'm watching. And not only is none of the movie real, not only is the movie completely fiction, it could never be. The separation which when you say, I and the Father are one, has always been the truth. There's never been anything truer than that, and only the truth is true. Nothing else is true. And that's why you can actually go back to the introduction to this workbook, to this text, where it says this whole course, he's talking 1,300 pages, can be summed up in these few lines. And of course, the first time you go through it, you say, yeah, right. That which is real, you know, without the belief that I can separate myself, which is impossible, that which is real cannot be threatened. No one has really been hurt. If I believe that someone can be hurt, somebody can be killed off, die, and of course, if you block somebody you can never get back on, you just kill them off. And you might say, well, that's a terrible thing, but did we ever think that judgment is the exact same thing? When you judge a person, you're actually killing them off, because you've split them in two. You've isolated them. And that's what judgment is. Judgment is really killing somebody off. The word judgment really comes from even the ideas when we were tribes, and you judge somebody in the tribe not worthy of being in the tribe anymore. Well, they went off into the wilderness to be eaten alive, to die of no food, no water, no nothing. And that was the end. But actually, that's impossible. What is one cannot judge or be judged? What is one? Who is there to judge? So all judgments are impossible. As Jesus says, it isn't that you shouldn't judge. You can't judge. Who you are cannot judge. As far as the idea that we are all the same, as the Holy Encounter says, as you see someone, you see yourself. As you treat someone, you treat yourself. As you think of them, you think of yourself. Now, for that to be true, we would have to be totally equal. Equal, and of course, that's one of the core values of Awakening Together. Yes, we are equal. But there's a miracle principle in A Course in Miracles. I think it's 51, which in the FIP it stops at 50, but it does say that equality in eternity, which is where we live, does not imply homogeneity in time. So yes, within the framework of time and space, yes, we may not quite be equal or the same, but we do share the same interest, the same goal, the same purpose, and that is the one thing that we do share. And that is pretty much why I was going to call this, we all share the same interest, the same goal, the same purpose, which is the only characteristic or the only requirement for the teachers of God. So to see sameness rather than to see differences, brings us back to that primeval before the world began, before Eden, which is a place that we went to experience what it would be like to experience being separate, where we could see differences, where there was male and female. But actually, what is male but our ability to extend, and what is female but the ability to receive? So accepting and receiving, extending, and what I give to myself, that is a law that the world that we made does not know of, which is why the lessons of the Holy Spirit are so few, and starts with what I give to myself, to have all, give all to all, because who is all? We are one. So there is no separation. The world does not know of a law that says what I give to myself. It looks at it the exact opposite. What I give, I don't have anymore, and someone else has. So why should I give all? Why will I give all? I won't have any for myself. So the idea of oneness, which is not so easily grasped by the intellect at all. Intellect cannot possibly understand what oneness is. But forgiveness is something that you really do for yourself. So whatever you give in the way of forgiveness, forgiving is what you give to yourself. And the one thing that we are really asked to forgive is the belief that I could have even done this to myself. And we all know the secret of salvation is, yes, secret is I've done this to myself. And yes, only I can undo it. There's a section in the teacher's manual, section 5, which says, what is the purpose of sickness? What is the purpose of sickness? And Jesus is the only place in the Course in Miracles that I know of that he uses a disclaimer. He says, unless you know the purpose of sickness, unless you know the purpose that you are here for, you cannot be healed. He actually uses the word impossible. It's impossible to be healed. So Jesus, our elder brother, is saying, you've got to understand what it is that you think you have done to yourself. Yet it is impossible. That pretty much is what Benny Silverman says. The solution is to see that it never happened. It could never be. It could never be. So when you forgive yourself, who is it that you're forgiving? Am I forgiving Dove for pushing the wrong computer button so somebody got blocked out? No. I mean, that's going to happen maybe every other day, and I'm always going to spend a half hour trying to undo the error. So maybe not to hurt this person. But yet, in eternity, that which is real cannot be threatened. That which is real cannot be threatened. And that which is unreal doesn't even exist. Herein lies the peace of God. And these few lines actually sum up the entire 1,300 pages. But we have to be ready to hear it. The mind has to already be transformed to hear where the cause is. Yes, I am cause. And yes, I could never have done this. So being cause or being responsible, as was pointed out by those people who do est and listen to Werner Erhard, I know my brother Larry definitely went through it. So did Gary Renard. A number of others, to be responsible, and that is such a powerful idea in this course, responsibility for sight, which you find chapter 21, section 2. Everything that seems to happen to me, I have asked for, and I received exactly as I have asked. Deceive yourself no longer that you're helpless in face of what seems to be done to you. Acknowledge you are mistaken and all effects of your mistakes will disappear. All effects of your mistakes. So at what level can I do this so that all effects will disappear? It's at the level that I think I have done this that I am cause. And to be responsible is to be cause. Without the blame, without the shame, without the guilt. Without the blame, without the shame, without the guilt. So when you truly forgive, true forgiveness is letting go of anything and everything that could follow the impossible idea of sickness. Sickness, which of course is always of the mind, is that I could do this to myself. No, you can believe that you're a body. Yes, you can believe that you have all those things to take care of, as Nuke Sanchez pointed out, and every time you give attention to it, you're just reinforcing the ego's energy. You're giving energy to nothing. So you cannot make it real and heal it or forgive it or atone for it. You must go back to the beginning. I know we've been, since Diederik did his workshop, we talk about root cause, going back to the root. This is the root cause. This is the inquiry that brings you back before Eden. You know, in Genesis, it does say that Adam fell into a sleep. Nowhere does it say he woke up. But there are two Genesis, by the way. If you go back into Genesis, it actually repeats it twice. It does repeat it twice. Even as you go through it, you don't maybe not even aware that there are two beginnings. There is the beginning where all is well, all is perfect, as our brother Jim Dunn was pointing out here earlier. All is perfect always. And at that level, we are the equal sons of God. At that level, in eternity, that is what equality is. We are the equal love of God. But in time and space, sorry, we're actually not that equal, are we? Yes, the intellect can rationalize and do all kinds of things with words and concepts, and we've all done it. I forgot who it was that says, you know, the intellectual mind can rationalize anything. Yeah, I think maybe it was David Hawkins, but it doesn't matter. I just want to close out by going to one of my favorite sections of the course to point out how valuable this is. Some of you may find it valuable, and some of you may say, well, you know, I'm not there yet. But listen to in the Rewards of God, Chapter 4, Section 6, Paragraph 8, the final paragraph, which I have shared here a number of times. This is the author of the course speaking to each of us in a very personal way. As you come closer to a brother, you approach me, and as you withdraw from him, I become distant to you. So as we join, as we remember that before Eden, we are joined as one. We are right there at salvation's door, and it swings open easily. But as you turn your back and you put someone on ignore, or you say, there for the grace of God go I, and think that, oh yes, you know, well, thank God my karma is better than theirs, or whatever it is that the ego comes up with to rationalize, thou is more holy, more righteous, more this, more that. He says, I become distant to you, which means that we return to that place in the movie, on the movie screen, where we are simply a body. And basically, if we think of ourselves as a body, we are sick. And that's why knowing the purpose of sickness, if you don't know the purpose of sickness, healing is impossible. And the only reason that we're sick is that we actually believe that we can do the impossible. We have actually done what is impossible to do. What God has created as one, we actually believe that we can come and tear asunder. But no, it is impossible. It's just that simple. He then goes on to say, salvation is a collaborative venture. He says, I become distant. Salvation is a collaborative venture. It cannot be undertaken successfully by those who disengage themselves from the sonship. So you can't really do this on your own. You cannot do this on your own. And that's why relationships is where the rubber meets the road. Recognizing that everyone that comes into our life is the perfect person assigned that we have asked for and has been assigned to us, we actually ask them to play those roles for us to remember the truth. And when you see that everything is happening for you, that everything is happening for you, that the universe is totally friendly and giving you everything that you need to remember the truth about who you are and what you are, and yes, even the ones that seem to take away your peace, that's where real growth can actually happen. Because nothing can take away the eternal piece from the Sun. I have to take a look at, well, why is this happening? You know, what is this about? And those things that seem to be uncomfortable first, those are the doorways to light. When you take a look at it and you ask to see it differently, the light shines right in. So then he says, God will come to you only as you will give him to your brother. So those who see God are actually looking in the wrong place. It says God will come to you only when you give him to your brothers. And what are you giving? What could you possibly give when you give God? You're giving the peace that we all enjoy before Eden, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You can't understand it in this world. You can't understand what it is to be immune, invulnerable, timeless, changeless, completely happy, joyous. But as you give what you have received, and you don't have to read a book to give anything, it's just what's in our heart. It's always the same. As you share it, you give it to yourself, because that is truly the law of mind, the law of love, the law of God. You find it in lesson 344. What I give to myself. So God comes to you only as you will give him to your brothers. Learn first of them and you will be ready to hear God. And that's because the function of love is one. We talk about love all the time. What is the function of love? It's our oneness. It's our joining. I'm so happy and glad to be joined with all. Truly. Thank you so much for listening, for being here. And at this point, I'm going to turn this mic back to Lynn Johnson, play a song, and ask Barbara Water to put up a link for all who would like to make a donation to Awakening Together. And it's whatever it is in your heart to give and to share. And whatever it is, you can be sure that it is used really for the good of all. That is always true. Thank you so much. Lynn, the mic is yours.
If my words did glow with the gold of sunshine, and my tunes were played on the harp unstrung, would you hear my voice come through the music? Would you hold it near as it were your own? It's a hand-me-down. The thoughts are broken. Perhaps they're better left unsung. I don't know. Don't really care. Let there be songs to fill the air. River in still water, when there is no pebble tossed, nor wind to blow, reach out your hand. If your cup be empty, if your cup is full, may it be again, let it be known. There is a fountain that was not made by the hands of men. There is a road, no simple highway, between the dawn and the dark of night. And if you go, no one may follow. That path is for your steps alone. Rippling still water, when there is no pebble tossed, no wind to blow. You can choose to lead, must follow. But if you fall, you fall alone. If you should stand, then who's to guide you? If I knew the way, I would take you home. La da da da, la da 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 da.
All right, thank you so much, Lynn Johnson. Oops. I don't know. Can you hear me? I don't see the mic next to my name, that's wrong. You can. Okay, I don't see the mic next to my name, but okay. Thank you so much, Lynn. That's a wonderful song. I really do love that song. The theme, again, the topic this morning was, I am both in this world and not of it. And I was going to, we have another 15 minutes for anyone who may have been inspired by anything that you heard here, or maybe you have some question or something that you would like to share with your brothers and sisters. This is a golden opportunity for the next 15 minutes. And then, of course, we have the hour that follows us, our social hour, where it's kind of a house party like we had here last night, Saturday night, for 2 hours. So anyone at all inspired by today's topic, I am both in this world and not of it? Those words were, of course, the words of Jesus, which you find in the New Testament in NTI, I'm both in this world and not of it. Where I first actually came in touch with it was many years ago, before I ever heard of A Course in Miracles. It was something that Werner Erhard used to say. He says, you know, the only difference between any of us and someone like Jesus or Buddha or any sage or person of wisdom has come through this world is someone like Jesus can say, I am both in this world and not of it. But he means that he can do it in every moment of now, that he is here now, and he knows that he's not of here. He's totally aware. He's totally aware. He says, for the rest of us, in order to get to become a master, like a Jesus or a Buddha, you know, at first you have glimpses. For me, it has been synchronicity. That I see how perfect things are always coming together, how perfectly everything is coming together. I've been using that saying for many years, all is perfect always. And you really do gotta laugh. Yes, we got here by remembering not to laugh, and we begin to undo what we think we have done by beginning to laugh at it and laughing more and more at it. Is there anyone here inspired that they want to share anything at all on what has just been said here? All right, Jackie, I see that your hand is up, but you haven't picked up the mic yet. I don't know. Have you said anything yet? Jacqueline, try picking up the mic now.
There. Now I think I have the mic. That was by far the most clear, the most clear, the most clear, awesome, succinct, true teaching I have ever heard. And it's hilarious because my first thought was, oh my God, I hope that that's saved so I can listen to it again and again and again, which is so funny. You know, that's so funny. That's the ego. I have to save it because I have to remember. But right now, I hear you and I remember. I am so very grateful. And there's nothing else to say. Gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. Whoops.
All right, thank you for that, Jacqueline. And I'm grateful for your gratitude. The word gratitude came up here this week. We had Lynn played Doug Chrislieb, who's one of the teachers who comes here every now and then. He's from Endeavor. And he was talking about parallel worlds. He teaches out of quantum physics. And he says the only way you can reach a parallel world where you are happy, because there is no happiness here, is through your feelings. You know, you can feel it. You can't think your way out of this world, because thinking is a part of this world. But this is what he says: the feeling of gratitude will take you to a parallel world of happiness. And actually, when he said it, I actually practiced it, and that's true. Gratitude, as you breathe gratitude in and out, it will actually take you to a world quite unlike the one that we're in. Okay, Jay has his hand up. Thank you so much, Jay. Yeah, thank you so much, Jay. I'm turning this mic over to you, Lynn. I just want to say about gratitude, lesson 197, which puts it in the last 20 lessons of part one of the workbook, and Jesus says, of the last 20 lessons, which he actually calls the most powerful lessons in the course, he says any one of them is the entire course. If you totally get any one of these lessons, it's the entire course. And lesson 197 is, it can be, it can only be, but my gratitude I earn. So when gratitude comes from outside of you, it's temporary, it doesn't mean anything, but it's your own gratitude that you breathe into everything. That's eternal. That's an eternal, you are eternally grateful for the gifts that you have received. And that's exactly what we're talking about here today. I am both in this world and not of it. I am not of it is really how grateful that my eternal gratitude is. Turning this mic over to you, Lynn Johnson.
All right, thank you so much, Dove. And I wanted to second Jacqueline's thought about your talk today, about Suzanne's reading, just so beautifully perfect. And you've mentioned several times that you have been hearing a greater clarity from me. I can only say because there's a greater clarity in you. I am just so, so very grateful. So thank you so much, Dove. And I'm going to turn the mic back to you. Don't forget to stay afterwards for chat and music. And Dove, the mic is yours.
Okay, thank you so much, Len. Actually, talking about clarity, part of my original topic for today was going to be, we all share the same interest, the same goal, the same purpose, is really the idea that over the many years, the sharing in this room has become so incredibly clear. And I took a look at that and said, well, you know, maybe just talking about yourself. And of course, you're always talking about yourself. And as you go deeper, yes, we get into a place where a lot of the blocks maybe have been removed, so you hear everything so much, much clearer. But I would say that the sharing in this room has actually gone from a place where we used to really talk mainly about the metaphysics, the course, to a place where the sharing here is really magnificent, really magnificent. That you can go anywhere in this world, literally, and I don't think, and I know that Lynn will certainly attest to this, no matter where you go, the sharing here is par excellence, par excellence. Anyone else want to pick up on anything? We have a few more minutes from concept to experience. Yes. We have moved from concept so we can speak from our direct personal experience, because a lot of the concepts were there just to kind of lull us into, well, it's just part of the process. You know, you do have to, you know, people used to say, well, I see he talks a good talk, but does he walk his talk? And I've always said, well, you have to talk the talk before you can walk the walk. And so it's all part of a process, so don't ever feel that if you're just into your concept and that's where you are right now, you talk concepts, that's fine. Wherever you are is always perfect, and I know that that is true, that everything really is being arranged for us in a very divine design, that nothing happens really by accident. Nobody is ever in the wrong place at the wrong time. Everyone is always speaking perfectly, and that is always the truth. Okay, anyone else want to share? If not, we're just about at that time to turn this mic over to you, Lynn Johnson, for our social hour. Very happy to have everyone here join with us this Sunday morning, Awakening Together Sunday service. Thank you all, and We do this, of course, every Sunday from 10:15 to 11:30, and the next hour is going to be our social hour, reminding everyone that Pamela Silberman will be here tonight at 8 o'clock, following Regina, who's on at 7. At 6, maybe we'll have, I'm not sure, we don't know until it happens, Cheryl Valentine, and at 5, Rabbi Benny Silberman. You know the rest of the schedule? Okay, Lynn Johnson, this mic is all yours.